exciting to you?
Welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only Mystifying Oracle of Radio, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Demon Hunter.
That would be me.
What are you doing, man?
I'm texting my mom and telling her I love her.
Yeah, you know, you know, thanks for bringing that up, because I called my mom earlier today, and of course, she thought it was late, because it actually was. It was after 12 noon, and I called her. I said, oh, no, because we celebrated, Demon Hunter. We actually celebrated Mother's Day yesterday.
Because early.
Yeah, well, we knew we would have the show today. So that's how my family rolls. Mom knows that the show must go on. Mom knows it. So we did celebrate yesterday, and I was out with the kids and mom, and we cooked some hot dogs and weenies and got a nice big... Have you ever had one of those Dairy Queen ice cream cakes?
Of course I've had a Dairy Queen ice cream cake.
Say that four times. Dairy Queen ice cream cake. Dairy Queen ice cream cake. I said Dairy Queen.
Murfer.
Yeah, but we did have it. We went out and got one. Overpriced, of course. Don't buy it on Mother's Day. Buy it like the week before and save it.
If you're going to go out and get a Dairy Queen ice cream cake, quake, on Mother's Day, get the Cookie Opus, because it's probably the cheapest one in there right now.
The Cookie Opus? I don't think I want that one.
And Fudgy, the chocolate whale.
Fudgy, the chocolate whale. Yeah, there's not like, you can buy yogurt cakes too now, I think you can.
Well, they're just getting fancy.
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, happy Mother's Day to all the great mothers out there of the Shadow Nation, and if you're not in the Shadow Nation, from the world. All moms, happy Mother's Day. Couldn't be here without you.
Yes, well, we couldn't be here without our dads either.
Well, that's true. We never get that, though. We never get the, as dads, you know, we never get the, we do get a Father's Day, but, you know, I feel like it's less, you know, don't you?
Well, they say that Mother's Day is one of the most traveled days of the year because everyone goes to visit mom.
Yeah, they feel bad.
Everyone calls dad.
Yeah, that's true. Everybody gives dad a call because they know dad's busy anyway watching the game. He doesn't want you to bring over your grandchildren and all that to him. And, you know, dad's fine. He's sitting there. But happy Mother's Day to everybody. Hey, Demon Hunter, that guy tonight that was singing, that band.
Yes.
That musical display. Sam Bennett was the name, huh?
Okay.
Great music special. Thanks to creativecommons.org and freemusicarchives.com for providing the tunes. And, of course, Sam Bennett for playing. Man, I love that guy.
I think it's freemusicarchives.org and creativecommons.org, right?
I think it's .com. Beg to differ.
.org.
It's .org for Creative Commons. But
I'm pretty sure it's .org for both of them.
Okay. Well, we'll debate this after the show. Either way, we got both .com or .org. Thanks, both of you guys, for the...
If you've never listened to the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show before, folks, this is where Sean and I start to argue.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, I was looking up the thing on Mother's Day. I was wanting to know the history of it. It began in the United States in the early 20th century. It's not related to the many celebrations of mothers and motherhood that have occurred throughout the world over thousands of years, such as the Greek cult to Sybil, the Roman festival of Hilaria, or the Christian Mothering Sunday. Huh?
Well, there you go.
There's the history, girls. That's because we love you. Women, mothers.
Yeah, moms. Anyway.
Yeah, moms. Yeah, it's kind of a rainy day here for Mother's Day in Indiana. But yesterday was beautiful, and we got down, and everything was going on, man. So
see, today was a beautiful day here.
Was it? And yesterday was nasty there in Connecticut.
Yeah, it was horrible yesterday.
Connecticut.
I didn't want to be here yesterday. Of course, I don't want to be here most days.
Yeah, you don't want to do it anyway, most of the time. Yeah, but anyway, what's going on? What else is going on? You was at work today. You did nothing. You slept.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, everybody was... You try and get in touch with people. You try and set up meetings. Nobody's, you know, first of all, it's Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm the only one working on Sunday. Nobody else is in their office on Sunday.
Clearly, they are not Christian faith. You should put that on them. Just see if any of them's Christian. You'll be like, you've broken the Sabbath. I wonder if that's ever worked at a place. I know a couple places don't work their guys because of Sundays and all that.
Well, yeah, a lot of places don't, but you and I don't get that privilege.
No, we don't.
And then on top of that, it's Mother's Day.
Yeah, we work for heathen people.
I'm working in the middle of the morning on Mother's Day. Everybody's out to breakfast and brunch with their moms.
Mommy, yeah.
So, I mean, I called my mom. I did call her. I didn't just text her.
That's good.
I called my mom, and I did send her a Mother's Day present. And she was very happy with it, but I felt like I should be there, you know?
Yeah, in person.
Especially since my mom likes to take every opportunity that she can to remind me that she's not happy that I do a show called Ghost Man and Demon Hunter.
She's not over that yet. 8 years in the biz and she's still doing it.
8 years in the biz and she's still not happy that I'm on a show called Ghost Man and Demon Hunter. Well, especially since I'm the Demon Hunter.
Hey,
she's not happy with that.
You guys might remember a couple weeks back. Nathan, what were you going to say? Were you finished?
I was just saying that so she reminded me today that she understands that I could not be home because I had to do the show Ghost Man and Demon Hunter.
You witch.
She loves me anyway. So she just want to send my love out to Mom.
A face only a mother could love. I was actually going to have our moms call in tonight. That wouldn't have went well then, would it?
No, that would not have gone well.
Hello, Mrs. Scootover.
She's proud of me, though. She is proud of me. She knew that I was going to be a broadcaster as a child. She said, Nathan, you have the voice for broadcasting and the face for radio. Yeah. And
she said, son, you'll never make any money. Go into broadcasting. Yes. Yes, absolutely. My mom didn't say that. Thank you. She said that I was going to be an actor or an actress, actually. But
she thought you were going to be an actress. Is that when she was making you wear dresses?
Yeah, she was making me wear the dresses. She was. But anyway, this week here in Indianapolis, we had some crazy stuff going on. There was actually a story popped up from the Irvington area. It's a real historic district over here on the east side of Indianapolis, which I don't suggest you drive through at night. But they have a lot of big... Remember, I was talking to you about this, Nathan. They have a lot of big Victorian old homes. That stand out there. Beautiful. A lot of haunted history, of course. Wherever you got the older homes, you have the haunted stuff. But I think I'm going to, on a side note, I think I'm going to start a ghost tour in like a new cul-de-sac, a new addition, you know, like Whispering Meadows or whatever they got out there. You know how they always put up the Cracker Jack houses? I'm just going to say, this is a new house's a ghost, you know, like the new house smell. These are new house ghosts.
Built right on top of a cemetery, yeah. So that you're sure to get all that poltergeist ghost hunting fun.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. If I'm a ghost and I'm destined to roam a home the rest of my life, I'm moving, man. I'm not going to stay in some mansion that's falling apart. You don't think they might have that? You don't think they have that option to move?
Well, you know, all I can think of is I was investigating a mansion years ago with a group. And they were upstairs listening, like recording EVP. This box of this, like, trunk. You open the trunk, and it had all these shoes in it.
Like, oh.
Just dozens upon dozens of ladies' shoes inside the box. It was Sean's dream come true.
Like
they basically, you know, they were like, oh my gosh, look at all the shoes. And they got an EVP in the background that just went, my shoes.
Oh, wow.
Like, okay, well, maybe there's something here.
Yeah, women really are.
Oh, good grief.
In love with their shoes, even in the afterlife.
Even after death, they love their shoes.
No, but I was going to say, this story over in, it was Irvington or a little bit east of Irvington, but it's an old historic district in Indianapolis. And the story was, there was a kid or something, he was 15, 16 out there in the park with his friends. Of course, this is authentic, I'm sure. And it's nighttime, and they're at this park, and in the middle of this park is, it's named after Washington Irving, as Irvington, the name of the neighborhood. So, Legend Sleepy Hollow, Stephanie, you're following me. But anyway, these kids are out there at night, and they witnessed, you ready for this world? They witnessed Demon Hunter. The spectral formation, spectral appearance, whatever. Wait, yeah. Notice the specter of Washington Irving.
Really? Mm-hmm. Not the Headless Horseman, not any of the characters from his stories. Washington Irving. Oh, how did they know it was Washington Irving, Sean?
Apparently, I don't know, because it sounded like from their, their interview that they hadn't cracked a book before, so I don't know.
Oh, good grief.
Well, can't fault them for that, neither have we.
Yeah, that's true. But at least we're doing radio, not getting paid for it. We're not.
Liar!
Anyway, so yeah, I heard that story. The kids were out there, and it couldn't be because of the ghost craze. Because a lot of people are saying, Demon Hunter, that with all the paranormal shows, ours included in the past, that the ghost craze is at the end of its life. No pun intended.
A lot of people are saying that. I am one of them.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's ran its course and everything, but in the back of the human mind, that's always going to be there. There's always going to be a fascination.
Just, I think that the popularity of televised ghost hunting
will
make way for a new fad.
Right.
However, I do think that people are going to remain interested, and in 10 years, you're going to see it come back around.
In 10 years?
Yes.
So paranormal is kind of like old clothes. Like the 70s disco comes back, bell bottoms and...
Well, that's all because of college students, don't you know? They can't afford to go to the stores, so they go to the thrift shops. And every 10 years, people get rid of like their bell bottoms and their wide college shirts. And all of a sudden, the college students are wearing them, and they're popular again.
The Brady Bunch stuff.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Sean, why don't we give a shout-out to all the people who are carrying us this week?
Yeah, let's do that. Because we never give shout-outs. Hey, special thanks, Demon Hunter, to Stitcher, Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, our home forever. We've been there for such a long time. Our new home, one of our newer homes, Stitcher, Smart Radio, and Demon Hunter.
Yes?
Did you have a third home you wanted to put us at?
We do have a third home. For those of you listening tonight, you're going to find we're on a tighter schedule, making all our little segments fit into boxes because we have to make sure that the people listening to us at 102.7, The Hog FM can keep in touch and follow along.
Oink, 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 The Hog! You excited about that?
Always excited about that.
Yeah.
Scotty.
We just got the email tonight, folks. So if we seem a little out of sync here, it's because we're trying to keep up with The Hog.
The Hog, and I hope you got your clock set to the 8 minutes. It kind of reminds me of the Howard Stern. Remember when we start broadcasting? And they told him every 5 minutes he had to do a time and weather update. And to make him mad, he was saying, you know, he was telling a story about his mom in a car accident. He goes, she got in a car accident. And the last thing that I got to say to her, by the way, it's 2 p.m., partly cloudy and chance of rain. So what I got to say to her, that was great, man. Your call time is 2 p.m., partly cloudy, and then mom died. We'll have to do that, you know.
You got to. You got to do it. And unfortunately, everything's on a schedule, but that's good, too, because it's going to keep us tight, Sean. It's going to keep us... It's going to keep us on a schedule, and everybody's going to be so much happier with the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. We can only go up from here.
Go up. I'm already up, Demon Hunter. I'm excited. Hey, Morgana Shaw, speaking it up, our good friend, actress Morgana Shaw.
Why, just... is Morgana Shaw getting you up?
We'll let that pass. In case she wants to sue. She might not be our good friend anymore if I...
Not after that.
Yeah. But, you know, she is our friend, man. She's great. And she's been talking to us, talking to me, emailing us. And, you know, her new show, of course, Salem on WGN, premiered, I think, 3 Sundays again. I've been DVRing it. You guys should if you're not. It starts tonight. I think it comes on right at 10 p.m. Central Time. And Morgana was in the entire episode last week, Demon Hunter.
Yeah, well, folks, if you don't get Salem, I have good news for you because I don't get it either. Oh. I have discovered you can watch it on Hulu.
Oh, you got to pay for Hulu, right?
No, you can watch it for free on Hulu. At least I've been watching it for free on Hulu. Now they're going to make me pay for it because you ruined it for me.
So they're going to call and say, wait a second, what did you say on your show? And you'll say, I don't know, and they'll play it over.
I don't remember that at all. Darn it, we're recorded.
They'll play. When they'll play it back. I'm watching it for free. Yeah.
Candy bars.
Exactly. Yeah, but The Hog, man. FM radio. Apparently, there's going to be a lineup of overnight radio shows. Only the best of the best. Special thanks to Planet Paranormal and all the people. Stitcher Smart Radio. All the people that's carried us over the years. And will continue to carry us. And I'm sure there'll be a couple new takers out there real soon.
Hey, Sean, that clock is kicking down. Maybe we should mention... Who's on our show tonight?
You know what, Demon Hunter? I'm going to let that clock click. Did you say tick down?
Tick. Tick. Tick down.
Shadow Nation, without further ado, you messed up the whole segment.
I have to say something is radio. We can't just let it be silent.
Let's just let it be silent. Well, we weren't silent. We were talking. But tonight's guest. Now you just stay silent the whole time. I like it. Here we go. Known as the spirit or talking board, first noticed in China around 1100 AD as the planchette writing device, then down through the ages and throughout the spiritualist movement, after which the mystifying oracle fell into the shadows as a parlor game. Recently making a comeback, though. You ready for this?
I'm always ready, Sean.
Recently making a comeback, Demon Hunter, as we know very well, in today's modern society of science and technology, when the human brain must say such things like Ouija are harmless. But in the back of our primal minds, most, like myself, are uncertain. Tonight, we go back into the shadows of the Ouija Oracle as we speak to survivor of an attack set forth by the Ouija demon known as Zozo. Ouija, just a game, or is it?
This is one of the big argument points for Sean and I. Mm-hmm. The first one starting out that I say it's a Ouija board.
Ouija? I say Ouija.
Yeah. Well,
anyway. We got that. We got the big guest tonight. The big boss man himself.
It should be interesting, Sean. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the arguments that you and I have while the guest is trying to talk.
It's Darren Evans, survivor of an attack set forth by the Ouija demon known as Zozo. Is it just a game? We find out tonight, only at the home of the Mystifying Oracle of Radio, your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Da da da.
So excited.
Radio. Hey, Sean, it's interesting when you think about this whole Ouija thing.
Yes, we thought about it much.
I've always said it's not the Ouija board that's the problem, it's the person using it.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that theory.
That's always been my argument. And when our guest comes on this evening, does that mean I can blame the whole Ouija phenomenon on him?
I don't know. The Zozo phenomenon. He's got a blog talk, spot. Yeah.
He's available on a blog talk show hosted by one of our friends, is he not?
Absolutely. Big shout out to Paranormal Radio. Of course, they hold one of Darren's shows. Darren's show, Hell's Bells Radio. And we'll have to ask him tonight what date and times those are on. But he has a lot of talk about one of my hot topics, because I'm surrounded right now in studio by Ouija boards. I've collected them. I have one from the late 1800s, very late 1800s, early 1900s, where, of course, William Fall. We'll get into that a little bit later, the history. But
hey, Sean, this is where I get to tick you off really bad and say we have to go to break right now.
Right now. Okay, we're back.
Hold on.
No, I think we're back. We can't just leave dead air for our listeners now.
No, I know. I just had to reset the clock so that I could follow along.
I did. I heard the clock reset. It's so. But when we go to break, guys, we're practicing right now. So you're hearing radio history for the G&D show in the making, because we're going to have to go to break every, I forget what it was, 18 and a half minutes, something like that.
18 and a half minutes. Mm-hmm. So we can't just ramble on the way we normally do.
I know, and that's going to be very hard. But aren't we supposed to give a call sign or something like that?
We did mention that this is going to be for 102.7 The Hog, KPGZ FM. So I think that's KPGZ-LP FM. But I think we just have to do the KPGZ.
Do we just have to do it one time, The Hog?
I think we should do it a lot. I just like saying The Hog.
102.7! I'll do 102.7. You can do The Hog. Like, we need more stuff to say. We already got Stitcher out there. We got Planet Paranormal. We got all this stuff.
We got to get ourselves some oinky sounds.
Oinky, we do. I'll work on that this week. But the Ouija history, Demon Hunter.
The Ouija board.
We talked about that for centuries. We've fought about it. You before, sir, have been noted on this show as saying the Ouija, just a game. Demon Hunter's answered negative before.
Yes, it is my belief that the Ouija board is just a piece of wood. I will go that far to say that. But once you use it, that's when bad things can happen.
Bad things can happen, but you're saying instead of the board itself, that the human factor is the mediator.
Well, that's a good word to use, Sean, because in my opinion, and this is my opinion, folks.
Yeah.
I am not a scholared man. I am a guy who sits in his basement with a stack full of books on evil stuff and reads it all the time.
Naked.
But I guess it could make me scholarly. Yeah. Maybe if I sat on a mountaintop and read evil books.
Hey, since we're FCC regulated now, I don't know if we can say some of the things that we used to say.
But we definitely, I definitely believe that once the person uses the board,
yeah,
and as we all know, you put your fingers on the board in the or on the planchette, which you know, I understand what you were saying in your opening, Sean, but the planchette actually French.
I didn't say it wasn't French, did I?
No, but the way you were reading it, it kind of made it sound like it was Chinese. I just wanted to
first noticed in Chinese first noticed in China around 1100.
The board itself, exactly.
Well, not the board, the planchette writing device, which was the basket with the little pencil that, you know, they used.
I see, but it wasn't called a planchette at that time.
I don't know. That's what they listed it as. You're getting the best information Google can provide, my friend, in my research.
Best information Google can provide. Anyway, it's my feeling that when you put your hands on that and you allow the board, the planchette, to move through your touch, that you become a medium for that spirit. And, you know, an untrained medium makes himself a doorway that anything can pass through.
Yeah.
And people always ask me, how do you shut that doorway? And I say, don't open it in the first place.
Okay? Uh-oh. And I've always begged to differ, and I've had several Ouija board experiences, and with no discredit at all to anybody that has violent experiences, very scary experiences, like Demon Hunter said, I believe that stuff can happen. We'll talk to Darren about it. We have in the past. Darren's a friend of the show. He's been on, 6 years ago, something like that, I think.
Maybe. Something, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
it's been a while. But you know, like I said, here in studio, Nathan, you seen up in the house when you first walk in, I had that vintage Ouija board where it actually came in three sections.
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah, it was made out of cedar wood, and it's on the back. It has a William Fold patent pending on the back, and I think that was when he was going to transition, of course, because William was not Demon Hunter, was not the first. You might have thought he was the first, but he wasn't.
Uh-huh.
Charles Kennard was the first that we know that brought it to light with the Ouija board.
Brought it to life. See, right there. Listen to what you're saying, John.
Brought it to light,
I just want to point out your opinion on this.
Uh-huh.
Your opinion on this whole thing.
Uh-huh. Invalid.
I
You can dead air.
I'll punch you in the mouth.
What's my opinion on it?
Well, see, my sound effects aren't working. That's not fair.
You got to cue that stuff up early. You got to dunk that stuff, baby. You got to dunk that stuff if you're going to come after me. Anyway.
I had the whole wrong thing lined up.
Wrong, right. Charles Kennard, though, you know, brought some light to the Ouija board. Before that, the unknown origin of the Ouija board, really. I mean, it bounced around through history's shadows until Charles brought it to light. And then, of course, William Fold purchased that from him. Very weird history back then, Demon Hunter. 1920. You ready for this?
I'm ready. I'm always ready.
You're always ready. In 1927, check this out. William Fold. Yeah.
Nothing. We're on the air. Never mind.
Yeah. In 1927.
Punch you in the mouth.
Mr. William Fold climbed the roof to witness the installation of a flagpole at his factory grounds, where the banister behind him mysteriously gave way, and he fell to his death from his own factory workshop roof.
Well.
Yeah, fell to his death. He was also, before that, quoted as saying, when they asked the new reporters, Mr. Fold, does the Ouija board really work? And he said, have you seen my house?
Yes.
Yes. Of course, he lives in a mansion. Of course, 1966, the Parker brothers, after Mr. Fold died, the Fold family, of course, purchased or had the rights to the board. They came out with a billion different designs of it. Some we'll show you a little bit later, you know, dancing ladies on it, stuff like that. And they, you know, skeletons, whatnot. And in 1966, very well known, Parker brothers bought that from the Fold family, and they've had it ever since. They currently hold the patent on the spirit talking board.
Remember, folks, if you're listening to the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show and you want to see these images we're talking about, you can go to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com. That's GHOSTANDDEMON.com. And click on our YouTube link and you can follow along there as well and see the images we're talking about.
See, that's why you're so professional. You keep it all along. I would have never thought. You know, I would have never thought to tell them our website because, like you said, we've done this for so long, you know. We got to change up the
whole
format.
And it's just one of those things. You got to keep it out there because you never knew. You never knew?
You never know.
You never knew.
You never
knew. This is a new show. This isn't the Ghostman and Demon Hunter. This is a brand new show.
It's all brand new.
Really great show.
Or as some of the critics say, two crazy guys that talk for an hour just to themselves.
Out of Pepe.
Yes. That's what we do,
yes,
folks.
We have our listener. And actually, yeah, we have two listeners. Four listeners. Hey, look at that. There's four.
Look at that. We got more listeners than that. I think our last thing was at several thousand listeners. They just don't donate because... Hey, guys, once again, we want to tell you, go to ghostanddemon.com. We are supporting the Susan G. Komen 3-Day Race for the Cure. We have a couple of friends in that race, and you can go to our website. It's, Nathan said before, ghostanddemon.com. On the side, or I'm sorry, scroll down. It has a link for the Susan G. Komen 3-Day Race for the Cure. You click on that, and then immediately to your left, click donate and put in any amount that you would like. And we'd really appreciate it. That's a good cause. We're cancer.
We're sent there from the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show because why not? We did send you.
Yeah,
it
we
was,
have.
Yeah. It was our plan.
Of course, a couple weeks.
Trap.
Of course, a couple of weeks ago, we had the, it was about 3 weeks ago, and one of our listeners, which I will get that gift out to you, she won that controversial new book by Ryan that we had on the show, Ryan Burns, which is a real-life investigator of, he's really been out there, the Skinwalker Ranch, and for you guys that don't know what that was, it's werewolves, aliens, all kinds of stuff, Bigelow Aerospace is tied in with it, big conspiracy, UFO, creatures, monsters, goes back to Native American times. He wrote that book, Skinwalker and Beyond, and because Jill went to the Susan G. Komen 3-Day Race for the Cure on our website at ghostanddemon.com and clicked donate, and she donated, she won the book. I still have to get that out to her from the studio, though.
Yes, yes, you do, sir, and I'm sure she'll be grateful.
Yes.
Probably, you know, chawing at the bit, waiting for that.
It's coming to you, Jill. That was Jill from the Shadow Nation.
That's right. Hey, Sean, maybe we should take this moment to move on to another segment of the G&D show.
Don't you have to do the break for the pause for the cause?
No, we do not. We've got 8 minutes.
In the news! Yeah. It's always fresh! It's always exciting, a little bit strange sometimes, and it's straight from the G&D show vault, and it starts right
now.
Ooh.
Ooh, scary.
That was
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Ghostman and Demon Hunter in the news, and that means the Ghostman and Demon Hunter drinking game. That's when Sean and I pull stories out of the news because we like the titles.
Yeah, we'll say
we
out of the
read
news.
The stories previously, so we're sure to make mistakes, and every time we make a mistake, you take a drink.
Yeah.
We'd like to remind our new listeners over at 102.7 who might be driving in their cars that if you're behind the wheel of a vehicle right now, don't play the G&D drinking game. And if you're planning to drive any vehicle or do anything important, listen responsibly.
Yeah. Drink responsibly. I ruined your whole cool thing.
There you go. Hey, Sean, first story tonight, because I know you'll like this one because you love this show.
Ooh.
Freak Show.
Out of Pepe.
Yeah.
Star Marcus Creature Boykin.
Yes.
Can't find a roommate.
It's the guy with all the piercings and stuff.
Yes. I can't imagine why he can't find a roommate.
I don't know.
But apparently, this comes to us from the Huffington Post.
Yeah.
He's a star on AMC's hit reality show, Freak Show.
Ooh.
And he's well known as the Creature.
Wow.
One of the most tattooed and pierced individuals in the world.
Yes.
Despite his fame, the Creature is having trouble scaring up someone who will live with him.
Oh!
I'm looking for an apartment right now, he said on an episode.
I'm ready for six.
Tuesday. I just got the boot from my last place. Right now, I'm still in a hotel. I'm kind of going crazy. It's not cool.
Well, why don't you just live in the tent or whatever? They got a shop there. He could live in the back.
Just let him stay in the storage room in the back.
Right.
Boykin went apartment hunting in Los Angeles between performances at the
Venice Beach Freak Show.
Venice Beach Freak Show. Go ahead and have a drink, folks.
Drink it.
But for some strange reason, it didn't go well.
Oh.
One potential roomie told Boykin, point blank, I don't even want to lie to you.
Yeah.
I don't feel comfortable having someone like you in this house.
Oh.
Just for the way it is, that's great, folks. I wish I could say have a drink, but have one anyway if you want to. I'm not comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Boykin admits that the assumptions people make about him are first impressions.
Yeah.
And can be daunting.
Well, I mean, you gotta, before you get your face tattooed and 1,000 piercings just in your face alone, brother, it's gonna be hard for employment ventures.
he's already got a job.
Oh, yeah, he's got a job. But what happens when the freak show closes? And let's say he has to go work at McDonald's. What happens, Demon Hunter?
What happens when he has to become like a men's suit specialist at Macy's?
Could you size me up, sir? Oh, wait a minute.
Never mind my inseam, okay?
That's terrible. We love you. You're saying Boinkin, right? Not Boinkin. Boinkin.
Boinkin.
Boinkin. Anyway, Demon Hunter, speaking
of... Lincoln, just like the hog at 102.7.
You did it backwards.
Did I?
Yeah. The hog. Yeah, 102.7. The hog. Anyway, guys, speaking of freak show stuff, Demon Hunter, you ready for this?
I'm always ready.
Because you were in the freak show.
I was not. I was in the carnival.
Close enough. Octagoat is a goat with 8 legs, Demon Hunter.
I saw this story. Very interested. Tell me more.
And it comes out of course, our friends at the Huffington Post. It's by Andrews Jarog. Go ahead and drink up, guys. I have no idea. We like goats of all shapes and sizes. When a goat's born with 8 legs and both male and female sex organs, much like you, Demon Hunter, we celebrate their life when such a goat is nicknamed Octagoat. Octogoat.
Octagoat.
Yeah. Yeah, we flip out to totally fall in love. Apparently this goat, I'm looking at the picture here. And apparently this goat, wow, there's no two heads or nothing. 8 legs, I don't know how he would even begin to. Anyway, Octagoat was born in Croatia. Drink up, guys. Earlier this week, vet says that the kid's condition, that's right, kid's condition is the result of an underdeveloped twin sibling. ITV News reports, they said, that's what explains the male and female reproductive organs. I counted his legs and I thought I was seeing things, farmer Zoran Poprockic said. He told reporters, according to the Daily Mail, then I called my neighbor to make sure that I'm not crazy. That's it. 8-legged goat. They got him. He's kind of cute little fella. Kind of cute little fella there.
And just so you know, Sean, baby goats, they are called kids. That's their names.
Are they really?
Yep.
I wonder who came up with that. You're a farmer, ex-farmer.
I don't know who came up with it, but that's the way it's been my whole life. You always called a baby goat a kid.
A kid. Any kind of goat. And it's not 8 legs. Doesn't...
Well, that's an octokid.
Octokid.
There you go.
Like an octopus.
I like goats. I love little... They're cute little fuzzy animals. They're very affectionate.
Yeah.
I don't see what the... and 8 legs, that's just twice as much goat to love, right?
Yeah.
You can love your goat, just don't love your goat.
And we've had stories on the past. What was it, last week? The girl was...
Last week, yeah. Let's not talk about that story again. That one almost made me vomit on the air.
It's about Mr. Ed. That was crazy. What's next in the news, Demon Hunter?
Hey, video footage shows a woman growl, attack a man on a train.
Oh, on the train.
Yeah.
So just another day in Manhattan, huh?
Yes, if you want to find this, you can go to the Huffington Post. They have video of the actual attack. Well, this goes bad in a big hurry. A video that surfaced recently on a comedy website.
Hot dog.
Eek.com.
Yeah.
EAK.com.
Oh.
Shows a woman on a train go from looking calmly in her purse to snarling like a demon.
Yeah.
and attacking the man next to her. It's not clear if the footage, which was filmed in Edmonton, Canada, is real or an embellished stunt.
Yeah.
Camera apparently starts rolling just before the woman gets the demonic look on her face lunges for a fellow passenger. When she tries to walk away, the man confronts her and tussles ensue.
He tussles.
Tussles. Hey, hey, hey. She probably... Oh, she's... Have a drink, folks. Probably effing possessed, says someone off camera, possibly the person filming.
Right, right.
As the two move about the train, throwing punches, kicks, and transit security officers hurry in to break up the struggle.
Oh,
my.
Sound like she needed a priest, a pope, and a rabbi in a bar.
Walk into a bar. The devil is bartender. He looks up and says, hey, is this a joke? Anyway.
Oh, he's got jokes, folks. Was that it?
The Edmonton Light Rail Transit spokeswoman, Cheryl Oxford, told the Huffington Post that both the man and the woman were ticketed for the incidents.
And that's it?
Well, apparently the passengers safely set off, but that was about it. Hey, Sean, I hate to tell you this. We're going to have to take another quick break and come back with more news.
All right, Demon Hunter, let's do this break thing. You want to lead us off?
Sure. Thanks to 102.7, The Hog. We'll be right back after this. Hey, and we're back, Sean.
Guys, bear with us. We're going to have to get used to this intermission thing. This is killing me. I don't think we have to do a minute or, 30-second downtime while we're doing the live show.
No. But like I said, I've got to reset the computer every time.
Yeah, you got to reset it. You got to do all that fun stuff. And then I got to reset the whole news segment so we can go from there.
That's right, folks. You're listening to Ghostman and Demon Hunter in the News, where Sean and I pick the stories out of the papers, the stories we want to read because of the titles. We haven't read them in the past, so there's going to be a lot of mistakes. When we do, you take a drink.
Let's do it.
We ask the people who are currently driving in their cars, don't play the G&D drinking game. And if you're planning to do anything important later, please listen responsibly.
Turn me on, dead man. The Beatles' number 9 conspiracy theory lives. Yeah. Apparently comes out of the Huffington Post by our good friend Dave Moy, Demon Hunter. I didn't know there was a Beatles conspiracy.
Oh, you've never heard the conspiracy about the Beatles?
No. Let's read this.
Paul is dead?
No. No.
Oh my gosh, you youngster.
It says you didn't need a lot to freak out in 1968, and the Beatles pushed more than a few fans over the edge when those fans got near the end. Ready for this? Near the end of the band's iconic 1968 masterpiece, popularly known as the White Album. Oh, that's a big one. I've heard of that before. As the song reveals, number 9 begins amid a Yoko Ono-influenced avant-garde. Yeah, that's right. Mishmash, you hear, over and over again. A creepy British voice saying, number 9, number 9, number 9, along with screaming, crying, the sounds of a crash, and other disturbing sounds. Am I right on the target here, Demon Hunter?
It sounds to me like you are.
It had to mean something. But what? Huffington Post asked. And the one Beatle fanatic made the stunning decision to play the song backwards. In the days of record players and reel-to-reel tape, that wasn't so hard to do. Remember the Ozzy Osbourne said? And Wasp. Remember they said, we are sexual perverts. That's what Wasp stand for. I wonder if you play a Ghostman Demon Hunter show back, what it says.
It says, murr, 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 buy, send money to Ghostman and Demon Hunter. Murr, 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 send money to Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Then a long silent pause for a break. It's a break in reverse. We come back at the end, or the beginning. The results were even more disturbing. Number 9 backwards sounded suspiciously like, turn me on, dead man, instantly. That sparked rumors that Paul McCartney was dead. And it also created the bizarre reverse speech movement among the conspiracy theorists. So Ozzy Osbourne in reverse and all that came from that, huh?
That's right, sir. And I will say, the first time I listened to the song Number 9, it freaked me out a bit.
Okay. So did he die?
I listened to it backwards. It freaked me out a lot.
To this day, some proponents of this urban legend believe that the cute beetle was replaced by a look-alike stooge who could produce fluffy wing hits like Silly Love Songs, but never could have given us such classics as Yesterday and Eleanor Rigby. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, too, because obviously you didn't hear these stories of Paul is dead kind of thing. But if you go back to the Abbey Road album, Paul, they're crossing the road and Paul didn't have his shoes on.
Oh.
It's traditional that, when you bury someone, you bury them without shoes.
Yeah.
Maybe because the reason it's very tough to get a shoe on a dead man's foot. But
that sounds like a song. Play it in reverse.
So it was rumored, of course, that that was another hint that Paul was dead. If you look at the Sgt. Pepper album, on the back of the album, all the Beatles are facing forward, but Paul was facing backwards. Again, another hint that Paul was dead.
Yeah.
This is the conspiracy they speak of. One of the things they don't mention in this story was, and the thing that freaked me out the first time I listened to Number 9 backwards, was the voice screaming, "Let me out."
So there is, like, how do you play a Beatles song, like Long Day's Night, and there's screaming women and glass crashing and stuff in the background? I don't
well, understand. If you, it's nothing like that. Honestly, Sean, it's a voice, it's a British voice, like something you'd hear on a BBC radio station saying, "Number 9, Number 9.
But it's real low.
I'm Number 9.
Yes.
And it's a long song.
Now you play it backwards and see what happens. Maybe we can just do a whole...
Now we're going to get all these reports from people going, "I played it backwards. I heard it.
It said Sean's dead." See, I'll say that. Sean's dead. Now if they play that backwards, see, somebody's going to get something.
Yes.
See? It's going to happen, Demon Hunter. Anyway, it's time, guys, for a G&D original series. You ready, Demon Hunter? Yeah. Hold on a second. I'm going to get this original series up here real soon. I am.
Well, while he's doing that, folks,
it's time for...
juggle for the radio audience.
Yeah. It's time, guys, for a G&D original series. That means Nathan and myself came up with it. Legend X series, where each week, Ghostman and myself, Demon Hunter and myself, scour the universe. Or maybe
Ghostman and yourself. It's going to be your show.
It's just a Ghostman and Ghostman show. No, Ghostman and Demon Hunter, guys, we scour the states of the world to look for the latest in legends and find out, are they real or not? From the Frogman to the Werewolf to the Bigfoot to the ghostly apparition of a lady who roams Archer Avenue looking for a ride. Huh? Tonight's Legend X.
Isn't that how you met your first wife?
I think so. I should have never gave you that ride. Tonight's Legend X, Demon Hunter.
That's right, folks. Legend X this week, Patterson Road.
Ooh, it's a good one.
Well, you know, everybody's got that haunted road story, Sean.
They do. They do.
No, you came out here to Connecticut. I took you for the ride down, I think it was Route 38, where the white lady is spotted.
We seen her, remember?
Oh, that's right. That's right. We saw her.
We witnessed her, although she was...
I think that would stick in my mind. We even posted the photo on Facebook.
Yeah. Stuck in there. And we could have pulled it off if we if we hadn't told them what happened.
Yeah. But we freaked those kids out when they came looking for the white lady and we showed them a photo of her.
They wanted a photo op with us.
Oh, but hey, Sean, Houston, Texas.
Ooh.
In Houston, Texas, cultural memories of the Civil War have sparked numerous urban legends. One of the creepiest is the consent around Patterson Road, locally known as Highway 6. No comment? Okay, I'll keep going. The claims here tend to differ depending on whom you ask. However, everyone agrees that the ghosts involved were Civil War soldiers because, as we all know, every bit of land somewhere from the period walked across... Well, wait, no, Sean!
You ruined it!
Every bit of land someone has, from that period, walked across,
yeah,
become a ghostly hotspot. Alt.
Yeah.
That's cuter now that way. I like it that way.
The Civil War ghost you're talking about.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
See?
This again, Sean, believers say that if you go into the Langdon Creek Bridge on Patterson at night and park your car with the lights off, you hear tapping or see a mist surround your car.
Oh, I've heard this one before.
Yeah, more skeptical locals will point out that parking your car with the lights off on a busy bridge is a good way to... Wait a minute. This was the same bit that we got from that last story I told.
Yeah. Authorities say parking your car with the lights off on a dark country road will lead to teen pregnancy. If you... I know it would have for me, but...
Hey, I don't like when they tell me the same story twice.
Yeah. Well, it's a valid thing of Americana. Almost everywhere you go, even across the lands from country to country, there's always these lonely roads where, like we said before, the Archer Avenue ghost. Because so many people's lives are taken on these roads. The Civil War soldiers, heck, out here in Indiana, out in the cornfields, I actually talked to a lady one time. Demon Hunter. Shadow Nation. I actually spoke to a lady one time. Very
Spoke to a lady.
One time. A very intelligent lady. And she told me that she had seen, while she was driving home, not only her, but her mother and her son had seen four soldiers walk across the road right in front of them. And they say they could see him plain as day, like you and me. And they were, and it was a foggy night, which isn't, you know, it isn't uncommon in the cornfields of Indiana at night where the fog rolls in pretty thick. And they seen these soldiers coming around. They could see the buttons on their backpacks, the bayonets on their rifles, everything. And they said they didn't look at them. They didn't stop. They kept marching across the road. Now, the road they crossed right down the road was a place called Locust Hill Antique Store, which had been around during the Civil War. Of course, it wasn't an antique store. It was a makeshift hospital for both the northern states and southern, since Indiana was in the middle there. They didn't choose sides.
Well, you know, Sean, that this story I read tonight comes to us from Listverse, who also brought us the Charman a few weeks back.
The
story was very similar there, but maybe they were making a point by that, huh?
Patterson Road, right?
Patterson Road. And I think I even got, if somebody wants to go check out Patterson Road, if you get hit by a vehicle while you're standing there waiting, don't blame the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter. We warned you, don't do that. But I believe the GPS coordinates for that are 29.8133180 and negative 95.6311770.
That was very interesting.
Go check that out yourself. I guess it's in Harris County, so good luck there, folks. Find us a ghost.
Demon Hunter, I think it's that time that we got to go to break.
You think so?
I think so. You ready?
I am always ready. See, we've got to get used to this because...
We do.
Clock says we have time, but you're right. We've got to go to break.
Let them worry about it. The sponsors. That's not how it works, is it?
That's not how it works. But we will make this happen because we're good like that. And that's we'll right. be right back. Right, Sean?
That's right. Guys, tonight's guest, of course, we're ready. Darren Evans. He's a survivor of the Demon of the Ouija Board Zozo attack. He's going to talk to us tonight about something that's fascinated Demon Hunter and myself for years. The origin of the Ouija board is unknown as to where it came from, although it's popped up from now and again and throughout history as different forms. Some say Zozo is the spirit that haunts Ouija boards and for years has attacked many an innocent soul looking for answers to the mystifying oracle. Tonight, Darren Evans, survivor of a Zozo attack, stops by to fill us in on what dangers are out there. Yeah. We're going to go to break. Special thanks to Creative Commons and freemusicarchives.org on both accounts. Tonight's band, Sam Bennett, named the song Never Took a Dollar from a Dead Man. We'll be right back.
future for the two of us. And there was nowhere left to go but up. And I never, never took a dollar from a dead man. Good Lord have mercy now. Tell you the truth, or at least maybe something close. You ask your doctor what's right for you, he might give you a lethal dose. You could be on a highway hitching a ride when a golden Cadillac stops. It could be Jesus behind the wheel, might be an undercover cop, yeah. But I never, never took a dollar from a dead man. Get along with mercy now. Hello. I said, crying and mercy now. Oh, there's never been a better time to do what you will. Say what you please. Crawl home and drink your whiskey now. Crawl on your hands and knees. The sheriff was cracking the whip on your back while you build this endless highway. He'll be fronting the band next Saturday night. He'll be singing, I did it my way. And I never, never took a dime. Heaven is a bone. I heard it from a circus clown. Don't look for me on Broadway. Yeah, I'm living on the edge of town. I won't go into the details of my current circumstance, but I promise I'll let those good times roll if I ever get half a chance. And I never, never took a dollar, no, no, from a dead man.
Hey, it's Don Wildman from Mysteries at the Museum on Travel Channel, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Hey, welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only Mystifying Oracle of Radio, your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. Demon Hunter?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Hey, you know what? It's haunted the public as the Mystifying Oracle from the beginning, but some say it's more than just a game. Tonight's guest, host of Hell's Bells Radio on the Paranormal 8 channel, survivor of a Zozo attack, Mr. Darren Evans. Darren, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, man. Glad to be here.
Sounds good. Now, I had before a musician. What's the name of your band?
We don't really have a name, man. We just jam, you know. We're the no-name band.
Right. Well, that picture you sent me, man, I thought, that's not Aaron. That's Stevie. Stevie Ray Vaughan, baby. You look like him. You look like him born again. You did. I like the look, man. I like it.
He looks like him born again, so it's Stevie Ray Vaughan if he was playing Christian rock.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's...
Hey, I play a little Christian music too, man, so it's kind of like you got the Skinnerd look, so people automatically think you're the Southern rocker, but you know, I do a little bit of everything, so you know, it's all good.
Well, we play some music here, don't we, Demon Hunter? Both the mandolin and the banjo I've played, and I kind of play the guitar. All of them bad, but I play them.
It's not Sean's best instrument, though. He's still most famous for playing the mouth harp.
That's it. Hey, hey, Darren, what we wanted to ask you before we get into tonight's story, you came on the show about 4 or 5 years ago, I think, and it was amazing talking to you. You're such a great guy, and it's such a laid-back interview we have with you every time, and they're going to be really interested in what you get to say. But, of course, I wanted to get out there on the Paranormal A Network. You have a new show, or fairly new show, right?
Yeah, well, it's you know, we've been doing it for, you know, for about 2 years now, actually, and it's you know, it's, for whatever reason, there seems to be a lot of listeners, and so yeah, we've interviewed some pretty cool guests like you guys, and we had a lot of fun, and you know, we're just really laid back, and we don't you know, we don't offend anybody, we try not to, but right. We're pretty truthful too, so yeah, it's Hell's Bells Radio and the Paranormal A Radio Network, and we're having a good time.
That's good, man. That's good. I got to listen to some of it. Who would have thought you would have followed in the after being on our show, you would have been a broadcaster? I thought that would have killed it forever, man. Hey, the Zozo thing. Now, if you remember last time, which I doubt you do, 4 years ago or whatever, Nathan and myself, we differ on the Ouija boards. I've collected them. I don't have a crazy collection like one of the cats you had on the show, and the name escapes me. But he was, I think, a Ouija historian or collector came on, and you were talking to him about that. But I have a lot of them from the William Fold patent pending, up on the wall. Remember when they used to come in three sections of wood? You'd had to put them together. You remember those? You ever seen those?
I'm not familiar with the sectional. I mean, I did see a double-sided board. I haven't seen too many of those, but I've yet to really check out the sectional boards. I have heard something about them, but there's so many different ones. These talking boards are in so many different shapes, colors, designs. You know, there's no telling what's going to come out or what has come out.
Right, absolutely. Now, set the stage for us. Did you play with these things when you were a kid, teenager? What's going on with it? What's the history with you and Ouija?
Yeah, I started as a teenager. We had found a plumber had found a very strange double-sided board underneath an old house that was rumored to be haunted that my ex-wife actually lived in. And so, yeah, if people fix and get married, I don't suggest getting on a Ouija board. My marriage didn't turn out so well. So, but yeah, that's where it started, on a strange, a very eerie, handmade, handcrafted double-sided Ouija board. On one side was a standard William Fold board we traced back to the 30s. It was very large. It had the cut corners. It was made of real wood. And then the other side was this very dark, just a handcrafted Zozo side. It had Zozo, you know, inscripted on the board, and just immediately it put off a vibe, and we were like, what the hell is this thing? You know, and we began sessions on it. And that's where it started, man, and a bunch of weird stuff started happening. I became obsessed with Ouija boards. I started collecting them. And every time this one particular spirit would come through on no matter what board I was on or what state I was in, and it became very, very problematic.
Yeah. Now, I've never seen a board with Zozo on it. I mean, let's break that down. First off, what is a Zozo? And what's it mean? What's the name of the word mean? Or the name? What does it mean?
Well, I've done a lot of research on that, Sean, and it's from the earliest. I've actually read. I had a guy do a full report on the history of the word Zo, as well as Zozo, and they found, and this was a linguistic who had a PhD in linguistics, and I've got the article was up on my website. I think the link's expired. I got to catch that up. But if you Google that, it's by a gentleman by Dr. Zantok, and he has discovered that the word Zo dates back to early Africa in Voodoo, and so the name actually means spiritual leader in Voodoo. But there's a lot of other research that I've done on the word. It also, the word Zozo also is defined as blackbird or crow in the ancient Basque language, which some sub-scholars believe that to be one of the oldest languages on the earth, dating back to primitive people. And so what was strange is that the double-sided board was found amongst jars of preserved blackbirds. And so there is the definite Ravenology, Raven, the whole Raven thing, the mysticism and the esoteric significance of these prophetic animals, one of the smartest animals on Earth that they're finding out. And I've done a lot of research on those, you know, on the ravens and the corvids, of the, you know, the blackbirds, the crows. And so, yeah, you know, if you're Haitian, Zozo means penis.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of different words, you know, a lot of different definitions for it.
Nathan, you should have known that.
On the radio, watch what you say.
You should have known that, Demon Hunter. Well, yeah. Ooh, I took a hit there. No, but a lot of different words. Now, I remember in The Exorcist, too. Huge flop, yeah? Yeah, huge flop. I don't know if you've ever seen that, Darren. You seen that one?
The what movie?
Exorcist 2, the follow-up to the original Exorcist. You ever seen that?
The Heretic. That was The Heretic.
But it was Exorcist 2.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I do remember that. And I do remember, yeah, you're right, flop.
Well, they brought Zozo into it. That's what I was going to bring up to Darren. I wonder if they got that from there. Because if you remember, they called it Zulu, though. I wonder if they got that from the Zozo history.
Well, it is, like he's saying, it's an African-based language, the word. Sure, and yeah. So it does, a lot of that movie does take place in Africa. So.
Right.
Well, you know, another strange correlation is there's all these Zozo churches that are popping up all over the United States. And the term Zozo comes from Greek mythology. It's actually a biblical term that means knowledge. And it also means fellowship of the knowledge in a Christian sense. And so I find that kind of odd that you've got the Oz-Zo phenomena, having studied the letter Z. Now, the letter Z is very fascinating in history. And oftentimes, the letters S and Z have been commonly interchangeable. And so that exists in a lot of magic terms. And so, you know, in chaos magic and that type of thing, the S and the Z, you know, the S is considered a good letter, where the Z now, the letter Z was considered the horse on Z by the ancient world. The letter Z was eliminated from many languages for being considered an evil letter. In my research, I've discovered that people that have the letter Z on their license plates are way more susceptible to fatalities in automobile accidents. Why is this? We don't know. But I have uncovered evidence that the letter Z is a prophetic letter, and that may have some significance as to why these Ouija spirits come forth with what I've termed the Zentity or Z entity. It's not just Zozo. It's you know, it's Zaza. There's a lot of Zaza stories out there. There's Zuzu. There's Zala. There's all these different Z terms. Why is it these Ouija boards connect themselves with the letter Z? I'm just a researcher, but I do have evidence to suggest that the letter Z is somehow a very esoteric, magical type of letter, which was pronounced Izzard back in the day. And there's been people that claims they've seen, Mr. Zozo, and he appeared as a very a lizard-like creature. And so, who knows? But I mean, there's just a lot of connections, a lot of bizarre connections with the letter Z and the Ouija board.
Yeah. Now, on your website, I'm on there now, you talk about, you got some quotes from Zaphis and Lachance. Of course, you guys don't know John Zaphis, Haunted Collector on Sci-Fi Channel, Stephen Lachance, a good friend of ours. You know, they both say, of course, Zaphis says that he's ran into it a couple times, that name, in his research. So apparently, because I don't think he plays the Ouija board, I think he's ran into it in EVP and stuff like that. But it sounds like all these cats you've talked to, Darren, that have experienced this, it sounds like Zozo is the dominant spirit of the Ouija, you know? Out of all the people, you know, you think you're talking to grandma. You think you're talking. I remember one time in high school, I was playing it with some girl I was dating, and we had a big party, and everybody was drinking and stuff, and, you know, they say you shouldn't drink around the board or whatever. And she bust into tears. All of a sudden, we're talking to this little kid, said he died in a cave or whatever, and he's still there, his bones. And I forget exactly what it said, but it said cave, dark place, something like that. And, you know, and then it started getting faster. The longer we did, it got faster and faster and faster. And then, of course, she asked the questions I say not to ask about grandpa and all that. And all of a sudden, she's talking to her grandpa, and she busts into tears. Now, it never said Zozo, but is that a way these entities or this entity gets into people's heads, poses as a loved one, and then tries to seduce you that way, and then all of a sudden, bang, it's Zozo, I'm here for your soul?
You got it right, Sean. It is a common denominator in a lot of... I've got thousands of emails from people that have experienced the phenomena, and I'm kind of the go-to guy when people experience or have a Zozo encounter.
Oh, yeah.
And having done, having talked extensively with John Zaffis, having done a lot of radio shows with Stephen LaChance, having talked to Ouija historian Robert Murch, Rosemary Ellen Guiley has a new book called Ouija Gone Wild, in which I've submitted over 3,000 words for chapter 13 of her book, which, you know, is directly talks about the Zozo phenomenon. So, yes, it does come to people and pretend to be a deceased loved one, a deceased rock star. It really gets into the minds of the participants, and it knows the weakest link of anyone that's in the room. It has, it has proven to have ability to read people's minds. And so, yeah, I've done a lot of research into, Carl Jung and his archetypes, such as the shadow.
Yeah.
And it's very perplexing. It remains very controversial.
Yeah.
And I'm on a radio show, man. I'll see you in about 20 minutes. But, it does have that ability to give the knowledge of the unknown. If somebody tries to guess a middle name, or somebody wants to try to guess the person that they just met in the room, their age, a lot of times this thing comes forth and has the ability to answer these types of questions, which I think leads to kind of shows the intelligence and the power that this thing can have over people.
Right.
And so it's just very strange and very mind-boggling how it's able to do that.
Now, how many of these Ouija board incidents aren't incidences at all? Like, how many times do people just set this down and absolutely nothing comes through, nothing happens? Is this board, like, when you use a Ouija board, is it definitely going to bring something up? Or, you know, are you flipping a coin and taking a chance?
You're definitely flipping the coin there, Nathan, because I got back on a Ouija board last summer and nothing was there for one of the very first times. And I quit doing it, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
From time to time, I will get on a Ouija board, or I'll just make one out of a piece of paper just to see, just out of curiosity. And for whatever reason, it hasn't been there in several years. But and it did nothing. And I was the guy that used to bring Ouija boards over to people's houses that didn't believe in that kind of stuff. And I've convinced a lot of people of the spirit realm just because I bring my Ouija board over. And so it's definitely flipped the coin. I think that when you do a Ouija board, you're inviting these entities into your, into your existence or into your space. And, not always do you have a negative experience, but the people that get a hold of me, I would say 9 out of 10 have a very negative experience, especially when it involves Zaza, Zozo, or the strange mama spirit, which again brings me back to Jung's archetypes. There was a mama archetype. There's the shadow archetype. And so, I've been approached by a guy in Italy who claims that he knows which demon it may be. And I won't repeat its name, but he's got a lot of research. He claims to have been working with someone in the Vatican, a very serious demonologist who preferred to be nameless. But they did a lot of their own research. And they got a hold of me about a year ago. And just kind of cross notes and share our research with one another. Just a lot of very bizarre connections with this thing, and it's definitely, the Vatican lives on my website. my site trackers have indicated that they just stay on there, and I haven't added anything in over a year.
And, funny, they just try and shut ours down.
Yeah. Well,
they've got a lot of power, Catholicism, I've got no problems with them, I'm like I said, I'm friends with a couple guys that are pretty high ups in the Vatican, mm-hmm. and so. It's just really fun to share research. I'm not, like I said, I'm the go-to guy on the Zozo phenomena because I have done a lot of research, and so I'm kind of a good place to start. But there's a lot of different theories, a lot of different opinions as to what its origin could be.
Yeah.
Whether or not, in fact, it could be demonic. A lot of people consider it to be egregorious or an egregore, a man-made type of tulpa or a thought form.
Yeah.
Which I can see what people would kind of believe that. Because of the circumstances surrounding the phenomena, but I mean, I don't make any of this stuff up. And the people that email me with these paranormal phenomena that's happening, and in some of the more serious cases that I've consulted with different teams and different individuals, it's very serious. And a lot of times, it's kind of a game to teenagers, and it does seem to, it really likes to screw with the teenage crowd, and that's kind of. The film I Am Zozo is kind of geared towards the younger audience as well as you both know, the Ouija boards are kind of they're definitely target marketed to a younger audience, and so It remains very controversial.
Now, it's wild you bring up some of the history, brother, because I've always looked into the research on Ouija. I'm not in depth with it like you have, man, and had any experiences like you have. But, you know, a lot of people say it comes from the old Egyptian times, at least with the basket and the pencil, which was, planchette writing. And of course, China back in 1100 AD stuff. The Ouija, like you said, is unknown. That's what makes it so mystifying. Nobody even knows where this thing come from. Then all of a sudden, Charles Kennard picks it up in 1890 and sells it to Fold, William Fold, 1927. He climbs his roof looking at a flagpole, and all of a sudden the banister gives way. The cat dies. 1966, of course, his family sells it to Parker Brothers, where they, you know, come out with the, is it just a game, you know, kind of thing. But, you know, the spiritualist, big spiritualist movement, Lincoln's wife, all these people are getting involved to talk to their loved ones. I mean, it reigned supreme for a long time. And, you know, of course, everybody knows the story about the psychic medium Pearl Curran. During the World War I, she made contact with the Patience Worth. And nobody could identify over in England if a patient's worth was documented as living in the town. She said she did through the talking board and all that. And, of course, everybody knows about the Fox sisters and how they used their table tipping methods and the, what was it called, guys, when they went into the closet and they come back and they had, you know, ectoplasm coming out their mouths and ears and stuff. I forget that name.
Fraud.
What was it?
Fraud.
Well, cheesecloth attack. But that's why I bring this up. A lot of people put Ouija in with the same type of stuff that the Fox sisters did. And, you know, it makes you think. Just because, should we be lumping this in one sum here? Oh, it's the Ouija. We've been, you know, people fraud before. They're fakes. The Ouija board must be fake, too. Where do you think, Darren? Where do you think this all fits in, the board with the fraud and all that? If I come to you and I say, bro, this is a fraud, it's a fake, you're psyching yourself out for nothing, what do you tell me?
You know, that's part of the controversy, you know, because everybody does have a different experience, and who knows how, you know, with modern science is definitely trying to look into the Ideomotor effect, Ideomotor effect, how you want to pronounce it, and, you know, it's my belief that we are able to hone in through this, you know, the spirit world through our minds, through the subconscious mind, and I don't necessarily believe that the Ideomotor effect, it totally explains the phenomena, but I do believe it has something to do with it. And so, such as, you know, how people have had dreams and they've never heard of Zozo before, and Zozo comes to them in their dreams. And so I do believe it's a cross-dimensional type of phenomena that can come through, and we're able to pick that up with our minds. And I do believe that the modern Ouija boards, which was, you know, brought around with the planchet movement, the whole spiritual movement, I think it's been around, you know, like you guys said, back in the Greek days, there's evidence of the, you know, the tables that they made there, the Chinese world, the, you know, the Egyptians, the also the North American Indians had a Squidoddle board. And so, you know, the modern invention, the Ouija board, is just exactly what it is. It's the modern invention, and I believe, you know, before 1890, there was just an old encyclopedia, a demonic encyclopedia written in France by Colin de Plancy in 1816, which mentioned Zozo as one of the demons that severely infested and possessed a young 9-year-old girl. And I didn't find that out until well after my research had begun. And so that was just another, that was one of the things that just, when I found that out, I mean, I got chills.
Yeah.
You know, here's historic evidence of it existing before the, you know, before the modern Ouija board. And so, you know, do I necessarily think it's dangerous for everybody to use? No. But do I know for a fact that a lot of people have had very strange experiences? Do I know that people have committed suicide because of it? Do I know people have, you know, this thing's predicted automobile accidents, and people have died in automobile accidents? And so I've got to be very careful, because I'm the guy that kind of warns people to stay away from them, especially if you run into this thing. Because if, right. What happens if you have repeated contact with it, it kind of has a tendency to grow in power. It gets in your mind, and that's where I think it's kind of a biological type thing, where it does infest you, and it can create a lot of chaos and dilemma once, you know, in your life. And so I'm definitely the guy, and, you know, on my radio show, my co-host, she's a, you know, she's a Ouija board user. She uses it all the time, or she did. And we'd have, you know, we'd do a show and not ask it questions, and this thing was able to say, you know, understand Hebrew. And so these are the things that are just, you know, for a lot of people, like a researcher like myself, it's kind of proof of the spirit realm. When here's a spirit that supposedly the ideal motor effect says we're just talking to ourselves. Well, if I don't know Hebrew, and a lot of times it'll abbreviate words. It'll say terms that we wouldn't normally use in our own language.
Right.
And so it's just those little things are just kind of giveaways to me that you're talking to something that's outside of oneself and outside of one's mind.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that, Nathan. Wouldn't you?
Well, I think back to, because I used to work with John Zaffis as well, and I think back to times that he and I used to talk about this stuff, and he would say stuff like, demons can't spell. Because they're corrupted, they can't spell. And, you know, I was never sure about that because the whole aspect of, you know, the Ouija board and everything like that, you'd think they'd find a better medium if they can't spell. I know I'm dyslexic. I that's why I went to radio.
That would be awful bad for Parker Brothers sales, yeah. You know?
But
stock just plummeted.
Yes. I destroyed Parker Brothers in one night. I will tear down your gaming board. It just seems interesting to me that you don't walk into Walmart and see these things anymore.
Yeah. But you know,
when I was a kid,
Toys R Us is supposed to be pulling them from the shelves. I mean, there is a movement out there from, especially from the Christian and the religious, the whole secular movements that are trying to get them out of so many public places such as Walmart, Toys R Us. And you know, if you guys could read some of the horror stories sent to me from teenagers, and you know, a lot of parents just don't realize that, you know, here's an 11, 12 year old girl that's talking to an entity that wants to rape them, that wants to harm them. You know, and uses sexual perversion as just another means to scare, you know, these people and these younger people. And so, and that's why I always, you know, I'm always contacted by those people that are scared to death and you know, it's said some things have come true. They've been experiencing some paranormal phenomena. And it's very, so I have to be very careful and I have to just be myself and as a researcher and as someone who's had very, you know, alarming experiences. That you've got to be very careful with them, and I basically tell people to, you know, be very careful. It's strange. Zaffis doesn't believe that Zozo's a demon. He believes it's actual deity.
Okay.
And so that's caused me to look into that whole what's the difference between a demon and a deity type thing.
I've always had a wonder myself, since there's been such a stigma to the board for so long, going so far back to a point where, you know, just anybody didn't use a board. You'd take a board to somebody who knew how to use it. If we're not dealing with something like a tulpa, where, you know, it's an entity that's born of the energy put into it by the people who create its image.
And that is another possibility for sure.
Now, I got to tell you, Darren, because I know we're running short on time, brother, you were in the movie, and last time you were on, you were talking about possible production and this coming up. It happened. I believe it was an independent film, I Am Zozo, right?
And correct.
It's
in the red boxes. It's at Walmart. It's everywhere.
Nice.
This movie had a worldwide distribution. It didn't get real good reviews, and you know, it's one of those things where it's kind of, you know, it's the style that it was filmed in. The Super 8 film, it kind of harkens to an old, older school type of I Spit on Your Grave type style of horror.
Right.
It is rated PG-13. They did edit out a lot of the scarier parts of the film. And so it's a very interesting film, and I do play the role as myself, a paranormal researcher in the film. It was a lot of fun. And I got to tell you, man, the place that we filmed it in was the most haunted location I've ever seen in my life. And it was, I had actually taken a video of a raven that disappears, and that was featured on Fact or Fake, the television series. And so a lot of strange events on the set of this film. Huh. And so if you want to check it out, it is available. It's on pay-per-view, and it's just about everywhere.
Yeah. Now, that one thing on your site, you talk about Texas Ouija Spirit Zozo. It says a Texas teen attempts murder. Did they contact you on that or anything?
I was contacted by one of the faculty members of the school in the town in which this incident took place. And they never did really find out. Of course, there was a rumor going around that it was, you know, another Zozo encounter. And so I was unable to actually speak to the young man that became, you know, detained, and as far as stabbing his friend out in the woods. But this is happening more and more. And there was a recent case in Oklahoma where another stabbing took place. And so, as well as New Jersey, there's been people murdered because of the Ouija board, because the Ouija spirit told them to do it. And it's very historically documented. And it's just another thing that tells me, you know what, you got to be careful when you mess with this so-called game.
Right, absolutely. Now, Darren, I know you got stuff to do, brother. I just wanted to ask you one time. You had said before you got to be careful. I know as Nathan and myself, being researchers, I've came home and had some weird stuff happen, and so has he. Have you ever had something come after you?
Yes, it's happened. If you check out the book Rosemary Ellen Guiley's Ouija Gone Wild, it's the only written published accounts of my experiences. I don't have time. Maybe you can get me back on the show and we'll go over some experiences, not only for me, but the people that have contacted me, and they are mind-bending experiences. I've seen animals become possessed. I haven't actually seen a manifestation other than just a black cloud type of presence, and that is also repeated in a lot of the other encounters, the Zozo encounters. And so, but yes, I have been physically attacked. I have been attacked in my dreams. I've had some very terrifying experiences, and this was back when I was involving myself in hundreds of Ouija sessions. I had a nervous breakdown, I've been there, and that's another reason why I try to help those people that are going through similar situations.
All right, brother. Well, I know you got to go, and we love you. We appreciate you coming on, and stay safe. Now, people can check you out at your website in Hell's Bells Radio. You want to tell us about that real quick?
Man, if you just Google Darren Evans Paranormal or Google Zozo Ouija, just if you Google Ouija boards, I'm all over the place, and you'll be able to see my research. Get on the website. It's ZozoTheOuijaSpirit.blogspot.com, and there's just a YouTube. If you type in Zozo, there's hundreds of videos of people messing around with it. It's everywhere, and so I just tell people to be careful when you get on Ouija boards. If you run across this thing, I recommend that you cease contact with it and do some research, do some homework, and protect yourself.
Gotcha. All right, guys, you heard it from the horse's mouth. Darren, thank you so much for coming on, guys. Darren Evans, brother, we know you got to go. Have a good night.
You too, man. Thanks for having me on, guys. Good night.
Good night, Darren.
Demon Hunter, let's pay some bills.
Oh, we're good at that.
We do. That's what we do. We pay out all the time. Hey guys, special thanks to our homes, Planet Paranormal, Stitcher Smart Radio, and the new 102.7 FM, The Hog, Creative Commons. We love you guys, creativecommons.org and freemusicarchives.org. You didn't think I'd get that right.
I was wondering.
Tonight's musician, Sam Bennett. Make sure to check him out, sambennett.com. Susan G. Coleman, 3 days supporter, Race for the Cure. Go to our website, ghostanddemon.com. Click on donate. Be a cancer fighter like us today. Hey, from the haunted backroads of America, this has been another G&D exclusive interview. Don't go changing America. You know we won't. Demon Hunter.
Because we love you.
Night, guys.